Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel.
It's a gloomy, gloomy morning, but Kentucky is 5-1 halfway through the season going into its bye week.
5-1. I mean,
I don't care what you
say. Gosh, so they should be 6-0.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it didn't look pretty. It was exactly what I had feared, is that it would come down to the end, that Kentucky would, well, I think it would be within a one-score game or a field goal or something like that late, and that's what it was. And I was talking to some buddies of mine from Georgia this week, and they're like, you're crazy. You should fire everyone if you lose to Missouri. I'm like, you don't know. Don't know. They always make it interesting, and I'm telling you, Mizzou feels like they're close. They've had a bye week. They're going to do some things. Just did not expect Kentucky's secondary to get as torched as badly.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. Like, Missouri didn't do some things. They did one thing.
Yeah.
They did one thing well all night, and they missed on a couple, too. There was, you know, we're...
Could have been worse.
Yeah. They, you know, and they're... And for the snapping issues that Kentucky has under center, Missouri has that exact same problem with the field goal unit.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Yeah. It is crazy. And I'm going to be talking out of both sides of my mouth today, obviously, because
right.
I was in the Mizzou section last night. I sat with Barry Odom's wife,
uh-huh.
And, you know, we went to school together. We were Tiger hostesses together. And so this was like the first time that I'd really talked to her since...
College?
No, since Barry became the head coach.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, could you have envisioned this? Like, you know, 20-something years ago in college, could you have ever imagined this? And I was like, what is this life like?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, right now it's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And she's like, we need a win so bad. And I'm telling you, you get such a different perspective when you have a personal connection to someone and you see it up close.
Mm-hmm.
But to be around, like, you know, she was just sitting in the stands like me. And to hear all of the fans around screaming, especially in that first half, like the first quarter, when it looked like it might get out of control for Missouri. It's just screaming about how much they wanted him gone, how bad he stinks.
Mm.
Someone stood up and said, hey, his wife's right behind me. And it just, and to just see the look on her face, and I know it's not the first time she's heard it, because they've been not good for the last year and a half. They have, you know, they've been struggling. So I know she's heard it all before, but I don't think you probably ever get used to hearing that.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a different feeling.
And
to just
watch her face. And every time they did something really stupid in the first half, to just see just the dejection.
Mm.
Just like, oh, we need to win so bad just to be okay. So, yeah, it was just interesting to see it from that perspective. That being said,
well,
Kentucky found a way to win again.
Yeah. But Mizzou had to feel better about itself after that game.
The passing game, I think, most certainly.
They had, and the running game. I mean, Kentucky had been third in the country in rushing defense.
And we talked so much about the third quarter,
blew it open.
I know.
All those statistics we handed out yesterday about the third quarter, throw them out. They are meaningless now. They will not be back. You can't mention them again, because they had been like unreal, leading the country in third down rushing defense and second down limiting opponents to less than 10 yards on a rush and all this stuff. Points, you know, had only given up 10 points in the third quarter all season. Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah.
Missouri just kicked that right out.
But they found a way to win.
Here,
and now they get to go to that bye week.
Yeah.
And get healthy, because they do look banged up.
The really good thing. Kentucky is 12-5 over the last 17 games. 12-4 in the last 16 regular season games, has not been exceeded since the 1977-78 seasons there. And UK had a stretch of going 12-3-1 in a 16-game span. So if Kentucky wins, you know, at Miss State, it would be better than that.
Yeah.
So you have to look at that and say, hey, this is the most wins in a 16-game stretch that Kentucky has seen in almost 40 years.
40 years, yeah.
So how could you be too mad about that? I understand completely. I don't fault anyone for being frustrated with the way Kentucky has looked in some of these games, because you feel like it's living dangerously. If you keep doing this, you know, it's going to go the other way sometimes. So,
yeah.
But at least you're winning, whereas Kentucky would find a way to lose like they did against Florida, and then they would have done that against DKU and against Eastern Michigan and against Missouri. And
yeah. You can point to how many times in the past 20 years where they have, you know. Yeah. I also felt like in the fourth quarter, they did not go conservative, and right, they didn't play to not to lose.
Right. I agree with that.
They kept sticking with what was working, or they kept, I wouldn't say taking chances, but they weren't predictable on every offensive set.
And they were letting Steven Johnson,
yes, and
be a quarterback.
And I thought that was the difference in the game.
They trusted him, which I think that's what they have to do. Yes, Benny Snell had a 71-yard touchdown run, but other than that, the ground game was not a success.
Mm-hmm.
And we're halfway through the season, and this is not the same offensive line. This is not the same backfield, and it can't be the same identity on offense. And I feel like Eddie Grant's starting to move away from that, that he's noticing that. Because last year, that wasn't the identity to begin with. They had to go to that.
Yeah.
I mean, credit Grant for switching to that, and it became Kentucky was physical, smash mouth, and that's what they became known for. When you got Alabama's best defensive player saying it's the most physical game I've maybe ever played in my career, well, that's not them anymore. That's not Kentucky.
I think that's what you totally have to respect and like about Eddie Grand, because we have seen offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator here, not just under Mark Stoops, just in general, mm-hmm, through the years, who have their system, and they will play their system regardless, yeah, of personnel. This, mm-hmm, is how I like to do it, and we'll do it like this until we figure it out.
Yeah.
And you can't always operate like that.
Right.
And I feel like he's been very malleable as far as what, as playing to his personnel's strengths.
Yeah. And he's starting to do that more and more. And that, yeah, game, I think Kentucky's strengths are Steven Johnson, one, Blake Bone, Kaywon Ross, Garrett Johnson, Lynn Bowden.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Conrad.
I was like, please flip the field again on that play where he ran all the way to one side and, yeah, then was going to come back to the other. I'm like, if that happens and he scores here, a legend will have been born.
Yeah. He was trying some high school stuff.
But
there,
the place went nuts.
Yeah.
I felt pretty good about the crowd. It, yeah, was a pretty full house.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't sure if it would be or not.
But after halftime, it thinned out.
It was, you know,
you could see it on TV.
The rain wasn't bad at all. It was maybe like a little drizzle.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you had to stay till the end of that one. And I will tell you, as someone with rooting interest on both sides, I have never seen it take so long to place a ball down. Missouri, honest to goodness, should have had two plays left at the end of that game.
They should have. There are two things there that happen. Okay, so the Missouri receiver, he has the ball. So he controls this. At this moment, it is in his hands to get his butt back to the line of scrimmage and get the ball to the official. Well, he goes to kind of like toss it to the official. When he goes to toss it to the official, Josh Allen sneaks his hand in there and knocks it to the ground. So now the official, who's not quite as quick and nimble as maybe he ought to be, kind of clumsily goes to get the ball 5 yards down the field from where it needs to be, and then he sets it down, and then he, like, readjusts it, which takes him an extra couple seconds, and that's where it came from. Now, to me, if you're the Mizzou player, you are sprinting back to the official and handing it to him.
Right. And Jacob Sammy said that on Twitter last night. I saw that. But
and two, if Josh Allen's doing that, then you could maybe call a delay of game penalty on Kentucky, if that would be the other action of that the official could have taken.
Or as a ref, you know the time situation.
Mm-hmm.
And to just remove yourself from it.
Yeah.
Like, with all that other stuff with Josh Allen, the receiver, all that stuff, the ref took 5 seconds longer than he should have. And if you have 8 seconds versus 3 seconds, you have a chance for two plays. You have a chance for an incomplete pass or a completed pass. But you have a shot.
Yeah, two plays. Had one. And Kentucky did a great job on the one.
Yeah.
Because Drew Lock did not have the time to put it where he wanted to.
No, he was scrambling on that last play for
Kentucky
sure.
Kentucky got pressure on him and put him down. So I'm watching the SEC Network afterward. And Gene Chizik, who I think is fairly horrible, but saying that, he still, you know, knows football. He still took, you know, Auburn to the national championship game, which they won. So anyway, he says he had said it before the game, and they say it afterward, that he thinks UK could still be 9-1.
I saw that.
Going to the Georgia game. And Chris Doering, who I think is a little better than Gene Chizik, he was agreeing. Because they were going through the games, Miss State, Ole Miss, Vandy, Tennessee, all winnable. They got to Georgia and not winnable.
It's not. It's not.
Well, then Doering he injected in something there. He goes, well, you just never know. If you win four in a row there and you've got some confidence, you're 9-1, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's not with it.
Georgia's unreal.
I have watched Georgia now in a couple of games, and they have kind of gotten it all put together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they look like a solid, solid football team. And then with the Oklahoma being upset.
And Michigan.
Now you're looking at.
Georgia's
what,
be
what could be. So I don't think Georgia plays Alabama regular season, do they?
Uh-uh. They play Auburn.
Right. But so say Georgia and Alabama are both undefeated going into that SEC championship game.
Yeah.
Obviously, one team loses that game. But then does that...
They have to be both in the playoffs.
I was just going to say, I mean,
if they're undefeated and they're both top five and your only loss is to the number one team in the country,
yeah,
then you have to be in, I would think.
You would think so.
There's a lot of football left to
play. I know, there's so much, but...
Alabama...
That's a possibility.
Had to hold off Texas A&M last night. It was 27-19 in that one. It wasn't 59-8, mm-hmm. You know? They came back down to earth just a little bit. They turned the ball over for the first time in 37 quarters. Damian Harris scored on like Alabama's first play from scrimmage. They opened a hole large enough for two semi trucks to drive through. What Damian had to do is beat that second level and those angles and the speed, and he just blew by him. He looked like he hit the 4-3 down the stretch.
Yeah, well, he's got that in him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, there's one other statistic here that is telling about UK. Kentucky has scored 23 points in 12 straight regular season games, and it's the first time in school history they've ever done that. That's pretty wild to think that it's been.
It is, because the perception for me is that the defense has carried this team all year.
I mean, even in the Hal Mummy years, they didn't put together 12 games where they scored 23 points in each of those games. So, I mean, this is Eddie Graham right here.
Yeah, what a great hire. I am more convinced by the day that he is a great hire.
And look, I'm not going to, this doesn't have to be a love fest. If you want to call in here and complain, I fully get it. I understand.
Because the secondary got torched.
Yeah, and even Eddie Graham, you could complain about some of the play calls he made. Overall, He is a great hire. He is a good offensive coordinator. But as far as, like, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, there are many calls you can question, like the Wildcat. Do you love the Wildcat? No!
Yeah.
None of us do. I thought you were going to throw it away. Remember that?
How about Drake Jackson?
Drake Jackson played outstanding.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. And then we have, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, Kent Spencer from WHAS 11 in Louisville. He was at the UK game covering it last night. And then, of course, he's been...
he's been a little busy the last week and a half.
His life has been taken over by what's going on at U of L. We'll get into all that with him at 9:30. 381-1313, taking your calls here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Some of our listeners are sports fans. And then others are sports fans. Sports fans. So relax, you're among friends. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Today, the impossible is happening. Someone is coming home. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, thousands with blood cancer are coming home to live a normal life. When you support LLS, you accelerate promising treatments that save lives, such as harnessing the immune system to fight cancer or creating personalized therapies for patients. LLS has been involved in nearly every major blood cancer breakthrough in the past 50 years. When you support LLS, you support the most pioneering cancer research of our time. Help us send more people home. Help us turn someday into today. Find out more at lls.org. Join us.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you, and the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
How do you see the world?
Ha! At Shriners Hospitals for Children, we know that changing how you see things can turn them into
everyday miracles!
Like riding my bike.
Breaking boards. Ha!
Hugging my mom.
Every day for over 90 years, Shriners Hospitals for Children has been sending love to the rescue, regardless of a family's ability to pay.
If you know a child we can help, visit ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org.
There's a season for everything. And right now, it's save up to 30% on appliances season at the Home Depot with special buys on innovative appliances that do more, like a Maytag top freezer refrigerator with extra deep door bins to free up shelf space. It's just $498. You save $150. Savings are in season with up to 30% off appliances at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
What if hiring could be easier, less time-consuming, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, so you don't spend time wondering where the right candidates are searching. Then ZipRecruiter uses its smart matching technology to scan millions of active resumes and notify the most qualified candidates to apply for your job. And the ZipRecruiter dashboard makes it easy to review, rate, and contact candidates, all in one place. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter makes it simple for growing businesses of all sizes to hire the right people, no matter the industry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you the results you need. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/expand. That's ZipRecruiter.com/expand. ZipRecruiter.com/expand.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Yeah, LSU. It would run. I mean, they stepped up and beat Florida.
Listen, yesterday was kind of a crazy day. And
it was crazy
and
everywhere.
The analysts were like predicting it. Like, something's going to happen today. There's some big things. Oklahoma going down at home to Iowa State after having a pretty significant lead in that game.
And Mark's brother Mike taking a lot of heat on that one.
What else happened?
Well, then Michigan State.
Yes.
I mean, they dominated Michigan.
Yes.
And then, Ed Orgeron finds a way to win against
Probably
Florida.
Will get an extension today.
And then Western Michigan and Buffalo go into seven overtimes, and Western Michigan wins 71-68. It's the highest scoring game in FBS history. So, yes, it was crazy yesterday. And then baseball was crazy, too. My gosh.
Oh, I don't know anything that happened in baseball. Well, I know nothing.
The Cubs had been something like this season. I don't know. They had been something like 80.
Oh, Utah got beat, too.
Yeah, but Stanford was ranked higher.
No, Stanford's not ranked at all.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh, well, the Cubs had been something like 80-1 when leading by multiple runs after the eighth inning. And the Nationals, the entire season, had been 1-37 when trailing by multiple runs after the eighth inning. And that changed last night. Bryce Harper homered, and then some other guy homered. And the Nationals won.
Do you feel like at some point Aaron Judge is going to get the biggest contract ever? Or no? Or is he just a home run hitter? I don't have any idea.
Yeah, he's got to cut his strikeouts down a little bit. But, yeah, he's a big slugger. But they're going to be done. They'll be out. It's going to be Houston and Cleveland, and it's going to be the Dodgers. And then the Cubs National Series is the only one that's, like, up in the air. The other ones seem to be, I think it's a 2-0 lead in all the rest of them. Yeah, Altuve's been amazing for Houston. Boston, Cleveland has been amazing.
Yeah.
They got magic. So, yeah, those are 2-0. And then the Dodgers last night won to go to 2-0. So, 1-1 is the only – the Cubs Nationals is the only series that's really kind of in doubt.
At some point today, we're going to have to talk about the Dan and Mary Jo Bowl.
The Dan and Mary Jo Bowl? What is that?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, completely
Monday
forgot.
Monday
night
football.
Yes, the battle of attrition between Minnesota and Chicago. Oh, my gosh. I feel for you guys because Dalvin Cook went down.
He was,
Yes, he was the bright light. You still have DeMarco Murray, though, right?
Latavius Murray.
Very
different Murrays. Quite different. It's like having Ann Murray.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Ann Murray on my fantasy team.
But you get the official debut of Mitch Trubisky tomorrow.
Yes, which I'm worried about because he played so well in the preseason. Everybody has been screaming that he should start. And so I feel like now he's going to go out there and throw five picks and, it's just going to be the worst ever. Yeah. The Bears are not that bad. They don't have Danny Trevathan for two games because of that suspension.
Just one.
Oh, it got reduced to one.
It got reduced to one.
Nice. All right.
Yes.
So just one. But that hurts because Danny is a tackling machine. Sideline to sideline, just outstanding. So the defensive line's not bad. They're not that bad defensively. It's not that they're great, but they're good enough to win games defensively.
Yeah.
The offensive line is good enough. It's not that bad. The running back, Jordan Howard, and then the Cohen guy, the little crafty guy. That's not that bad. Glennon is horrible, and they don't have any receivers. They all got hurt and traded and signed to free agent deals with somebody else. So I can't even remember the receivers'
names.
Yeah,
they have no receivers.
Yeah, and they show that they've not played a lot of football catching the ball in the NFL that shows up when they play other teams. But Minnesota's defense is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You can't survive the Dalvin Cook injury if you don't have Sam Bradford.
Correct.
I mean,
Case Keenum has, you know, for what he's had to do, he's played okay. I mean, he's been okay. He hasn't been horrible.
Yeah.
And two games ago, he was phenomenal. The biggest bust in the last couple of years in the draft that no one talks about is Laquon Treadwell from Ole Miss, who was outstanding in college. Uh-huh. And I was so excited when we drafted him. And he has been hurt, and then he has been bad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are one of the best duo tandem receiving groups in the league, but they're both nobodies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Diggs was like a fifth round pick or something. Adam Thielen, I mean, his story is crazy. He basically was on a Who Wants to Be a Viking tryout thing and just showed up and is now the most reliable receiver in the league.
Yeah.
And Laquon Treadwell is a complete no-show.
Well, I feel your pain there because, you know, Kevin White out of West Virginia was
the fastest guy to ever play ever.
Bears first round draft pick that first year. Nope, didn't play. Injury. Second year, showed up and then got hurt and didn't play. And then third year, which is this year, started out, and then he got hurt again. He's not going to play for the Bears ever.
Yeah.
So forget him. Why didn't you keep Alshon Jeffrey?
I know.
God, man. And just to throw some money at Brandon Marshall.
They had good receivers for a while.
They did. Yeah. All right. We nobody else cares except us.
Know.
So we have lost all of our listeners. We will get back to UK football right now because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Kent Spencer from WHAS 11 in Louisville. He was there at Kroger Field last night. And we'll talk about the game with him on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Attention, CDL Class A drivers. McLane Company is hiring delivery drivers in Lexington. McLane driver teammates have guts, grit, and a go-getter attitude, and they're looking for more of it. McLane offers CDL Class A drivers an average starting salary of $55,000 per year, health benefits on day one, and an industry-leading 401k with company match. Bring yours and roll with McLane. To learn more, visit drive4mcleancumberland.com. That's drive4mcleancumberland.com. McLean is an equal opportunity employer.
The only things that fit better than a custom tailored suit
are ARE fiberglass camper tops, lids, and tonneau covers.
This is Brenda Satterwhite with my sons, Jeremy and Justin, from Linex of Kentucky. No matter where your adventures take you, we've got you covered.
ARE tops are molded to fit your vehicle perfectly.
They fit any truck, any bed size, just like a surgical glove.
ARE's paint matching technology is the best in the business to give your ride a seamless look while protecting your valuables from rain and sticky fingers.
Whether you use your truck for work, play, or both, ARE gives it more room, protection, and great looks.
We love ARE fiberglass camper tops, lids, and tonneau covers.
That's why Linex of Kentucky is one of the top 100 ARE dealers in the country.
Come on in and see how well one fits on your ride.
Linex it at Linex of Kentucky, behind the Toyota of Nicholasville, big used car store.
Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Are you self-conscious around others because your dentures might slip or spaces left by missing teeth may show? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying,
Good dentistry isn't expensive. Lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, and be proud to show off those pearly whites.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff, even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The latest sports news, scores, opinion, and commentary. Plus how to rub up your balls like a major leaguer. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
5-1. All right, halfway point of the season, the only thing you could ask for that would be better was the win over Florida.
Yeah.
So you have to be happy. You can't be down about this.
I was kind of thinking that yesterday when we got to the game, and we didn't tailgate all day by any stretch. We got there at like 5:30.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were still so many empty parking spaces and yada yada yada. It wasn't packed, and I thought, What do we want? What do we want as Kentucky fans? Like the chance to go to 5-1 with the bye week next. You know, it's just
what's going to satisfy the fan base.
Yeah, and we had to win that Florida game, but still, yeah. As you pointed out, 12-4 over the last 16 regular season games. That's better than most schools in the SEC probably.
Well, here's one thing that Mark Stoops will say. We hear him say almost every week, really. He says this almost every week. Look around college football. Like, people are barely winning. People are losing that shouldn't lose. You know, look around, okay? It's not just us. But then you look around and you see Auburn beat Ole Miss 44-23. You see LSU come off a loss to Troy and beat Florida in the swamp. You see South Carolina, which you beat.
Destroy Arkansas.
Yeah, 48-22. So when you look around, you also see that other part that says to you, Mark, you should have beaten Missouri 44-23 today. But they didn't. Kent Spitzer was there to see it. What was the feeling in your mind, Kent, following that game?
You know, I'll tell you this. This was my feeling, and you guys both know me, and a lot of times I think I feel like I take a little bit more of a positive mindset out of things than a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But I'm watching this game, and I'm like, they're in complete control of this game, and then Kentucky football things start to happen, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, you start giving up bomb after bomb, you know? And I'm looking over, and Missouri coaches are, like, waving their arms as a bird, you know, before plays are called, which clearly I feel like those were just, like, fly route. You know, just go deep.
Yeah.
So, and this is
happening. That deep ball was there all night. Yeah. It really was.
It really was. And what happens is, you know, Missouri comes back. They tie the game up. They've got all the momentum. Now, how many times, especially in the fourth quarter, when Kentucky loses momentum in the fourth quarter and somebody ties it up, how many times do they end up going on to win that game?
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Not a lot, right?
You can sense the feeling last night. It was coming up again. Like, oh, no, it's going to happen.
Last night they took their punches, they, and what I said was they kind of found another gear.
Yeah.
And they were able to win the game. I think a lot of times you don't just get from, you know, nobody goes from zero to upper echelon of the SEC overnight. You know, I think, you know, you have to take steps in the process. And sometimes the steps aren't pretty. And sometimes they're hard and they're gritty. And I think that's what exactly last night was. I mean, that was one of those steps for me. You know, Kentucky football thing started to happen, and they didn't let it overcome. And so that's what I took away from the game.
And that, I think it can all be summed up in the one play of Steven Johnson hurdling that Mizzou guy, and then getting absolutely stood up by the at the goal line and bouncing up and being like, "Let's go!" Like they
I told
were
you,
not,
he's Gumby.
Yeah, they were not. They were not going to let themselves lose last night.
Yeah.
No, you're right, and or. Every time Lynn Bowden touches the ball,
yes,
that kid's just different. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, he is.
That kid. I think I was up the press box and I just watched him. I said, "Man, that boy's something special."
Yeah, there's no kidding. I mean, he's just got it. He's got it. You know, yeah. Joker Phillips used to say, "I don't know what it is, but he's got it." That's Lynn Bowden has got it. All right, Kent, give me your. You know, Kent, if you didn't know, he played a little football. He played some college football. At Morehead State. So he has one level above a lot of people in that press box with him of, you know, football knowledge. So I couldn't tell you by watching the film what happened in the secondary on those deep balls. All I could tell you was I think the safety should have not been standing in the middle of the field, and I feel like he should have been back there helping his cornerback cover. That's all I know. But so what did you see, Kent?
Here's what I felt like I saw. I think early on in that game, Locke was struggling. He was struggling to find receivers. He was struggling to put the ball on the money. And I think sometimes the defense gets laxed in that. And I'm talking about the first deep ball.
Yeah.
Because I think the first deep ball kind of got everything started.
Yeah.
And I think you're talking about that first deep ball too, right, Dan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happens is, as I think that sometimes you start to relax, and they don't realize that dude has a cannon.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be the best quarterback in the world, but that kid's got a rope. And I think the safety was a little lazy over the top. And, you know, in that kind of coverage, you need to get over there like a bullet. And you have to respect the fact that this kid has a cannon. You know, I don't think a lot of people could make that throw, but that kid can, and you have to understand that. And I think that's what happened. I think they got a little lazy over the top, and next thing you know, that kid houses it. You know, a lot of the other deep balls for me was just, you know, the ball's in the air. You have good technique. You got to go make the play. You got to be aggressive. You got to be confident in what you're doing. You know, you hear a kid like Derek Beatty all the time talk about their ball hawks and they're this and they're that.
Well, yeah.
Go be that. Yeah. I don't need to hear it. I need to see it. Go be that. So for me, you know, a lot of that stuff was, you know, you are one-on-one and they are pretty good athletes. Well, they put you one-on-one for a reason. They think you could go make plays. Go make plays.
Yeah. And then it didn't help that Chris Westry went out of the game, didn't come back. So Lonnie Johnson, he's the one who got torched at the end of the first half. Guy just got by him, and then he comes out and starts the third quarter by, you know, running into the kicker and lets that field goal happen. But he came back and totally redeemed himself by blocking a kick there against Mizzou. But that secondary, it has to be better. It has to be better. Stoops tried to explain it a little bit, and he said, "I don't want to get too technical," because he was getting definitely a little too technical. But
and there was a lot of things. I mean, you know, like, you know, early on, Josh Allen goes and completely blows up Drew Lock, and he fumbles, and that's a sack, and all that. That's really the only time that kid was under pressure all night.
Mm-hmm.
And then very last play.
You know, when you're back air in the back, and you can hang out and smoke cigarettes and find, you know, whoever you need to find.
Yeah,
that's an issue. That's a problem. And so, if they were, I think, you know, what helps you know, problems in the secondary is being able to get pressure on the quarterback. And they weren't able to do that, which you know, puts closer watchful eyes on the people in the back end.
Yeah, it's just too much time to have to cover somebody. I think part of that goes to the pace. And Kentucky's not able to bring in fresh bodies on the defensive line, and then they got to keep going and going, and they just don't have the juice to get there. Let's move to the offensive side of the ball. And what was your assessment of Eddie Grand's play calling and what this team looks like and its identity offensively?
You know, I think in the first half, I think Grand was making a few mistakes because Missouri was clearly sitting on the screen game.
Yeah.
In the misdirection game. He had a lot of calls that generally are brilliant and they look good, but you know, they were just completely sitting on that stuff, and he kept calling them in the first half. If you notice, they really got away from it in the second half, and they didn't do that. They were like, all right, you're going to give us the downfield throw. Well, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And they were able to take advantage of that. I don't remember, and I asked this question a bunch last night. I asked the Stoops, Darren Henshaw, and a couple other guys after the game, and I'm going to ask you guys the same question. Have you guys ever seen a kid improve so much in the passing game from year to year than what Steven Johnson was last year to what he is now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would have to take a while to find somebody, because it is tremendous.
Yeah.
He has improved in every aspect, because he's not turning the ball over either. And I almost feel like it has taken this long for Eddie Grand to go, okay, I have always trusted him, but I now fully trust him completely, 100%.
He is in the circle of trust now.
Yes, yes.
Well, and also I think some of it is, you know, they ran the ball so well last year.
Yeah, they really did.
You know, one of the guys that you had that was so good last year was Benny Snell, and he's back. And, you know, you want to feed that guy the ball because, you know, what Eddie Grand really wants to be, he wants to be a 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he is as an offensive play caller. I mean, he feels like that gives you the best chance to be successful.
Yeah.
And right now, it's just not happening. I mean, you take away, like, Benny Snell has 117 yards last night, and that looks great. But you take away the 71, you know,
yeah,
his 40 yards on 14 carries,
yeah,
and that's not great, you know. So it's one of those situations that they have to get this fixed in the bye week, you know, because that's what they want to be able to run the football. They need to be able to run the football. Darren Henshaw told me last night, he's like, they're just completely taking away our run game. But, you know, I think sometimes you've got to get back to attacking people downhill. And what ends up happening is, in the back, you know, Benny Snell's not the fastest dude in the world. Now, he broke the 71-yarder, and a lot of guys can't get do that. So I'm going to give him credit on that. But when he's 4 yards in the backfield and running sideways, that's not a good thing.
No.
And I think a lot of their run plays end up starting that way, and maybe that's just him trying to bounce it because he doesn't see anything there. But last year, I felt like he just took what was there, and that was pretty successful. If he could get, you know, that's when he could get 4 to 5 yards pop.
I feel like Eddie Grant is trying to coach him into evolving into a better running back, and they talk about this patience thing. One of the things that jumped off the screen at you, or jumped off the field at you about Benny Snell last year, is how hard he hit the hole. When he hit that hole, he was there quick, and he was hitting it hard. And if you were in the way, you got punished.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's getting there and looking and trying to find where the hole is. Instead of going to where it's going to be, he just runs to a spot. This time he's now
to be tackled.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's part of the difference too. And yeah, this offensive line is not what it was. I don't know why they have a lot of the same players. I mean, I guess John Toth makes that much of a difference. I don't know. Drake Jackson played awfully well last night.
Cole Mosier.
Yeah, Cole Mosier.
Yeah. Don't sleep on Cole Mosier being hurt,
yeah,
and being out the entire season, because, you know, how many options, just having that guy in as a staple, how many options does that give you on the offensive line with some of your other guys?
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. You know, Toth not being there, I mean, he was really good. I mean, you know, he was the quarterback of the offensive line. And, you know, he's the one who's pointing out protections and getting everything set for the offensive line. Everything plays off of that man in the middle. It seems like, at least definitely in pass blocking and stuff like that, and the snaps were so much better, it seems like they may have started to find something in Drake Jackson. You know, apparently that, you know, that young man has really kind of picked up his game and is getting more snaps.
All right, Kent. We brought you on for another reason, too. This has been a busy week and a half, 2 weeks in the world of a Louisville sports anchor.
I feel like we completely just talked about a football game that I didn't even expect to talk about. I felt like we were going to be talking about me being peed on and the Louisville scandal.
And those are so similar. They actually are.
I'm sure he's
referring to Colton Kent,
right?
Who is his brand new baby boy? Who's what? 2 months old?
Yeah, it's 2 months.
Just 2 months old. He woke up in the middle of the night to feel himself being wet on.
that's wonderful.
You're not a daddy without that happening.
Yeah. He's going to appreciate that story.
Just laying in bed, and next thing you know, like, it just hits me in the shoulder and starts running down my arm. And I just popped up from the dead sleep, and I said, oh, my God, he's peeing all over me. And Amanda was up at the time, my wife, who was up changing, and she was like, oh, that's on me. Yeah, no shit.
You're like, actually, it's on me. Yeah, now it's on me.
It's on me, babe.
So at the beginning of the week, there was a general feeling that maybe, well, Patino's definitely gone, but maybe Jurich survives. And then this Courier Journal report comes out. And now that can't happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't appear that that's going to happen. I think any momentum that he had, and, you know, I think in the last, maybe over the weekend or at the beginning of the week, I think there were a lot of, you know, a lot of wins just starting to change. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, there was big money involved in this, high-level boosters. But I think maybe, you know, in some retrospect, I think they were panicking a little bit. And you know, he's got all the support from the coaching staff, the rest of the coaches. You know, they've been very outspoken. But I will say this, after that report, I haven't heard a lot on all of those fronts. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard the coaches be so outspoken about it. I haven't heard, you know, much from the high-level boosters. And to be quite honest, even though the winds were kind of heading back in that, there's a door open. This could happen again. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of other high-level boosters and a lot of other people with power that want a fresh start and wanted to move on. So I always thought it was still a long shot. But it feels
Greg Postal's one of them, wouldn't you say? I think he wants a fresh start.
Yes. The interim president right now, and I always said this, you know, before this all happened, when John Schnatter, aka Papa John, stood up in the meeting and kind of called Tom Jurich out, you know, publicly. I looked at somebody at that moment and I said, that he's not doing that. He's not a lone wolf on this.
Mm-hmm.
He may be at this moment and may not be being backed by anybody, but I said, there is people behind that man right there doing this and either put him up to it or is certainly supporting, you know, this action right here. You just don't go do that alone. And I said, actually, at that moment, I said, I think the wheels are starting to move on something. Well, obviously, this latest FBI investigation, you know, pushed the boulder down the mountain.
Yeah.
To get that going. So I think Postal's involved, and I think there are several other people involved as well.
We're talking with WHAS 11's Kent Spencer here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Yeah, these coaches, why would they know some of these details of Jurich's salary? They wouldn't know that. But now that they do know, maybe it doesn't set as well with them. Maybe some of these Board of Trustees folks doesn't set as well with them because this was clearly something that was between Tom Jurich and Dr. Ramsey, the former president of the university, where he was. You know, and Kenny Klein came out and said, look, Jurich didn't go in here and go, I need everything. I need all this stuff. He said he didn't ask for anything. This was the university sweetening the pot to keep him from leaving. And so I guess George didn't have to take it, but at the same time, this goes more to the corruption at the top of the university and involving, it's not just Pitino, it's not just Jurich, it's Ramsey and his people and Foundation and Jurich and Pitino.
And if you look at the heads of that university right now and some of the biggest positions over there, like that was back in the day, and right now, because of all that, everybody has interim in front of their title.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just trying to get a grasp, you know, and it seems like they're just trying to get a grasp, trying to get a foothold, trying to start fresh. And every time you do that, something else ends up coming up, you know, kind of delaying the process. Like, you know, I would imagine, I mean, you know, when it comes to Greg Postal, who's now the interim president, I imagine there's a ton of people that are looking into him and saying, man, this has been such a mess. That guy can't get the job. I'm sure there are other people looking at him going, man, he's trying to do the best job that he can in crazy, difficult circumstances. He definitely needs the job.
Yeah.
So, and he's had to make some really, really tough decisions. So he's almost kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place a lot of times in a lot of this stuff. And when it comes to the coaches, you know, a guy like Dan McDonald, well, he's not the highest, he's like number two, highest paid baseball coach in the country, college baseball coach in the country. He's been in the College World Series several times, hasn't won it, highest paid coach in the country.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I'm going to support the guy that got me paid.
Yes, you are.
You know
Absolutely,
what I mean? Like that's
yeah.
that's a natural thing, you
yeah.
know. And you know, coaches love working for Tom Jurich. I don't think you'd find a coach on that campus that doesn't love working for him. Especially if you're a sport that, you know, over time doesn't make a lot of money. I mean, he gives you first class facilities to operate under, and you still get paid a nice salary. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't think that you can fault any coach for coming out and support for him. Although
no.
I would say I would pump my, you know, you like you would support, but my advice would have always been just keep your head down and coach your team.
Yeah.
You know, don't
yeah.
what there's a lot of stray bullets going around. You know, just avoid the bullets.
Yeah.
So Vince Tyra now takes over as once again another interim athletic director. Is he acting athletic?
Yeah, not interim. Interim
okay.
means Jurich is gone. Acting means
okay.
Jurich still has the
okay.
job, and Vince is filling in.
He's not the long-term solution, I wouldn't think, either. Would you, Kent?
He doesn't want to be either.
Yeah.
I think when the day of the press conference, when he was announced, I would agree with you on that. I would just say I think sometimes you just have to let this thing play out.
Yeah.
And see what happens here. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, does he really want to inherit what they're about to go through long term? You know, he's a very successful businessman. He's worked it out you know, with his jobs that he's able to do this and develop full time into it right now, you know, whether that's short term, whether that's long term, he's not 100% sure. But I would just say that, you know, I'm not really sure whether he could be a permanent fix. I wouldn't close the door on it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, there he's going. Whoever it is going to, on one hand, inherit a mess. Yes, but they're also going to inherit an athletic program that overall is one of the better ones in the ACC. You know, there's.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still. I mean, it's still. I would think a desirable job.
I think it's a great desirable job, but no. And my only thing about it would be, okay, the guy. How many people? There are very few. I think Mitch Barnhart is one of them in Kentucky, but there's probably a handful of programs, maybe two handfuls of programs that you actually know really really well who the athletic director is
yeah.
in college sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom Jurich is one of those guys. And, I mean, the fan base here has developed, you know, almost like in Jurich we trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a coach can leave, but they just trust Tom's going to make the right move and get it. He'll take care of the situation. He'll do this. He'll do that. You know, so
he's wildly popular with the fan base. I think that took a hit the other day with the Courier Journal reports.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to replace that. That's a tough ask. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of times when you look at coaches who replace legends, they really don't get the job done. You want to come after the coach who replaced the legend.
Right.
So I there may be just a little bit thinking there because, you know, Ty Ray, he's a guy who obviously successful in business. He's a, you know, he played baseball at Kentucky, but, you know, he said in his opening news conference, look, I'm a Louisville fan. I grew up, you know, his dad is an all-time great, was the first All-American basketball player.
Right.
And he's raised his kids as Louisville fans. So, I mean, he's the genuine article. I don't think he wants to ever be caught in a situation that he would be, you know, criticized by Louisville fans or not liked by Louisville fans.
Well, last thing quickly is David Padgett. He winds up having to promote his video coordinator, director of operations, and a grad assistant so that he can have actual other coaches help him coach the team. Something has to happen quickly for him to have something of a staff for the season. Like he has that can't be the plan for the season, right?
You know, I to be quite honest, I think, you know, so many people have been critical of Louisville, you know, hiring a guy who has connections with Jurich as an AD, acting AD in Vince Tyree. People have been critical, even though I think that he knocked it out of the park in his opening news conference about, you know, promoting a guy that was on Rick Pitino's staff into this role as interim head coach, you know, given everything surrounding the program. My stuff to this, and this is the same answer as these assistants. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get outside of the box to come in right now and fill those roles? You know, they made a decision that when they were going to get a head coach, they weren't going to take another head coach away from some other program.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to take they didn't want somebody to come in that absolutely had no idea about these kids because they wouldn't give themselves a chance to be any kind of successful this year. And, you know, for seniors like Quentin Snyder and Honest Mahmood, you know, my thing about assistant coaches, I'm sure there's some out there, but who are you really going to get? They kind of can.
Somebody's got to leave somewhere. Yeah.
And hit the ground running. Yeah. Somebody's got to leave somewhere. Somebody's got to go. And if you're taking assistant coaches away from staffs, you know, it's the same way if you would have taken a head coach, you're taking a PR hit.
Yeah.
Because you're the school that would do that. You know, and I think that they want to kind of stay away from some of that.
Yeah.
So, to be quite honest, it doesn't seem like that's a plausible way to have this thing go. But at the same time, who are you going to get?
Yeah. Hey, Kent, we got to run. We're at the top of the hour. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kent.
I really appreciate it.
See ya. All right, Kent Spencer there. We got to go. Dan and Mary Jo Show will be back after this.
ESPN Stadium. Two runs batted.
WLXG Lexington, an LM Communications broadcasting station.
As good as we've seen him focus on every single pitch in the game, and when you combine that with the skill set that he has and the energy that he brings, and, you know, he doesn't only energize 50,000 people, he energizes everyone in the clubhouse. So when he's in the box, when he's making plays with his arm, his glove on the bases, it's exciting.
The Nationals beat the Cubs 6-3 to square that series at one game apiece, thanks to a 5-run eighth inning in Washington. It's a travel day today in the National League. We've got Game 3 in the two American League series today here on ESPN Radio. 2 Eastern for the Red Sox and Astros in Boston. 7 Eastern for the Yankees and Indians in New York. Houston and Cleveland lead those series 2-0. College football Saturday night. Michigan State wins at 7th-ranked Michigan 14-10. Ryan Lewerke throws for a touchdown, runs for another. The Spartans get all of their scoring done in the first half before the bad weather moved in. Michigan quarterback Wilton Spate has 3 broken vertebrae in his back. He got hurt 2 weeks ago against Purdue. Spate will likely miss the rest of the season, but he'll be evaluated again sometime next month. That was the first loss of the season for Michigan last night. First loss also for Utah as they fall in Salt Lake City to Stanford.
Mitchell Trubisky makes his debut as the starter for the Bears Monday night against the Vikings. What can we expect from him? We'll ask Jeff Saturday on a Football Monday with Mike and Mike, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Oh no! I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita's. Or call 859-368-9265. Experimat, computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
What if we told you that every time you make a purchase, you could be adding to your savings? With Roundup Checking, every debit card purchase is rounded up to the nearest dollar, and the rounded amount is automatically put into a savings account with interest. We'll even double your savings for the first 90 days, which means you could be growing your savings with every... The best checking account puts money back in your wallet. Visit ccuky.org/roundup for more information and apply for Roundup Checking today, only from Commonwealth Credit Union. Here, we see you differently. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, folks. Richard Lumberson, owner of Gutter Hellman. My promise to you is we never use gimmicks to sell Gutter Hellman. The quality speaks for itself. We offer a reasonable sale, military, and senior discount. This is a very important decision. Make the right one. Gutter Hellman. Ask for it by name.
Call us at 859-554-2449 or visit us online at classichomecenter.net today.
This month, we're offering 20% off to you.
Are nuisance wildlife knocking at your door? Maybe running around your attic? If you're hearing the call of the wild in places you shouldn't, call Critter Control. Raccoons, squirrels, bats, skunks, and other critters. At Critter Control, we get the critters out of your home and make the repairs necessary to make sure they don't come back. Critter Control, serving Central Kentucky for over 25 years. Visit CritterControl.com, call 800-CRITTER or 859-278-3747 and let us be your hero.
Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Are you self-conscious around others because your dentures might slip or spaces left by missing teeth may show? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, and be proud to show off those pearly whites.
Your dental needs don't have to just stop at general cleaning. Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire. Visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, for all your dental needs.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, or eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue in Lexington to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
So, you know, tonight, I'm excited about this, and I'm not saying this. Look, Kentucky football is 5-1. If you're not on board here, then you just don't like football. You know what I mean? 5-1 at Kentucky doesn't happen.
Then the only thing that will satisfy you is almost an otherworldly possibility. You know, when they're not going to be in the Final Four.
This isn't Georgia. This isn't, you know, Alabama. It's not Auburn. Look, it's Kentucky. And you know what? You've surpassed Missouri and South Carolina. 3 years in a row, you've beaten those two teams every year. You should also beat Vanderbilt 3 years in a row. Now, next ladder is Tennessee, Georgia, Florida.
But how many times, Dan, have you heard fans in the past saying, all they need to do here is win 6-7 games.
Right.
And that's all we need. Just keep us happy, you know. Well, if someone could just win 6 or 7 games consistently. Well, that's okay. So that's won 7 games last year. They're going to win 7 games this year.
Right.
I would think.
Yeah. They're going to. Yes, absolutely. This was, let me look at here. Looking in the notes, there is this number about, yes, Kentucky has defeated Missouri and South Carolina 3 times in a row. It's the first time in school history UK has defeated the same 2 SEC opponents in 3 concurrent seasons. So, once again, it's the first time in school history UK has defeated the same 2 SEC opponents in 3 concurrent seasons. Kentucky has lost to Florida 31 consecutive seasons. Before that, it was Tennessee's 28 years in a row, okay? Kentucky has never, ever before been able to dominate 2 SEC teams and say consistently, we are clearly, positively, absolutely 100% better than these 2 programs for 3 years in a row.
And listen, while Missouri may really have fallen on hard times these last 2 years, and now this year they're 1-4, listen, South Carolina absolutely laid a whooping to Arkansas last night.
Yeah.
South Carolina beat NC State, who is also now 5-1, with a win over Louisville Thursday night.
Yes.
Right? So NC State's not a terrible team.
Right.
And I realized that was the first game of the season and, things get better and whatever. But the point is, South Carolina beat them.
They sure did.
And so they've had their ups and downs, has South Carolina, but Kentucky went there and won.
So, like I said, if you're not happy with 5-1 midway through the season, then you just don't like football, or you're just truly a negative person. Nothing's going to make you happy. Even saying all that, I am still excited to tune in to the SEC Network tonight at 7 o'clock and watch for 2 hours.
Oh gosh, I forgot.
John Calipari's new team. Yeah, it's Pro Day, UK Basketball Pro Day tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. at Rupp Arena. First time it's been at Rupp. All 30 NBA teams are supposed to be represented. Expected to be there. It'll be Sean Farnham and Seth Greenberg to host it. You know they're going to talk to Cal. They'll have an interview with him. They'll love on him. They'll
yeah. Well, Seth Greenberg.
They'll stroke him while he's sitting there.
Seth Greenberg loves him. So does Sean Farnham.
It will be a Kentucky basketball commercial for 2 hours.
Yes.
And it will be a love fest about how great and talented this team is. But we'll get to see him because, look, I pointed out to you what a week or two ago, I showed you a team picture.
Yes.
Like name
everyone
player
on this team.
Look at each face and name them. And couldn't do it because they're all brand new. You just don't.
I was like, there's Sasha Kalia-Jones. There's Wenyen Gabriel and Ty Winyard.
And Kevin Knox has such a unique face, right? Nobody else looks like him. You wouldn't.
Yeah.
So he's easy to pick out.
Who else did I know? Brad Calipari.
Well, of course. Johnny
David. Johnny David.
Ty Winyard.
Yep. Hamadou Diallo.
Yes. Yeah, we'd seen him before.
But yes, I mean, it's just so many.
I haven't yet been able to.
I mean, it's a young team, which, by the way, I guess verified is the youngest team in all of college basketball this year.
And his youngest ever.
Yeah, ever. Calipari's. Ever. Yeah. And you know that when you've got to put Ty Winyard on the front of your media guy. Because you're not going to put all freshmen on there.
Right. Yeah. They put the returning guys.
Yeah, they put the returning guys. Yeah. And Ty Winyard's a returning guy. Yeah. What are the 4?
The ones I'm not 100% if you were to put them right next to each other, I may not be able to tell which one is PJ Washington and Nick Richards.
Yeah.
Not because they look alike, it's because I'm not sure
you're
which
one. You're just not familiar with
them. Yeah, what do those 2 guys look like by themselves?
So, yes.
Quade Green, I've got a good feel for what he looks like. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has the De'Aaron Fox type hair.
That's who I wasn't able to recognize.
I think he has the De'Aaron Fox type hair. And Jamal Baker. Actually, if you take Jamal Baker and you take Quade Green, I could get that wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. We'll see tonight. That'll help you. So
I forgot all about that. I've got to DVR that.
With the team tonight. Get familiar with the faces. Get familiar with the numbers. Help you out. And then, Mary Jo, look, this thing happens tonight. On Friday, it's Big Blue Madness.
That's crazy.
The Friday after that, it's the Blue-White game. The Friday after that, it's the exhibition game. The Friday after that, it's the second exhibition game. And the Friday after that, it's the season opener. So every week, we've got college, we've got UK basketball every week until the season starts from here on out. Every Friday night. Which I hate, by the way. Thank you, John Calipari. All of high school football throughout the state of Kentucky thanks you for making everything on Friday night.
Well, they can't do it Saturday night, Dan, because the football team plays.
Do it on Sunday. Everybody hates the NFL now anyway. By the way, you can hear the NFL on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. At 1 o'clock, we have the Panthers and the Lions. 4 o'clock, it's the Seahawks and the Rams. 8 o'clock, it's the Chiefs and the Texans. No, I'm excited for this tonight. I want to see this. The night game is the Chiefs and the Texans. I got a feeling all of Kentucky will be, the ratings for WLAX will be down tonight. It won't be its normal high that the Sunday night football game usually brings because of 7 to 9 o'clock. You got Pro Day on the SEC Network. All right, we got a phone. We have, yeah, Jeff is on the line. Is that right? Jeff, good morning, Jeff.
Good
How
morning,
you doing?
Jeff.
Good morning, Dan and Mary Jo. How are you?
I was good to talk to you after a win.
Well, I'm glad they won, Mary Jo, but I'm telling you, I told you guys, this game worried me all week long, and it did right to the last second. And I was last night, it was 37-34 because they was driving the ball. That one play Steven Johnson made, he dove, he jumped over, I think he jumped over a guy and got hit at the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was second or third down, whatever down was. And then he was going to hand to Benny Snell, and then he went and they nailed him at like the 2-yard line. It was fourth down, and I was watching it, and I was sitting there just begging Stoops to go for it. Go for it,
yeah.
Finish this off, tell the offensive line move their butt, and let's get a touchdown and win this thing. And he kicked the field goal, and I was like, oh no, they're going to drive right down the field.
He was asked about that.
I know he was asked about it. I know what his answer was, but still, even if you don't make it, Mary Jo, even if you don't make it, say they stop them and they're on the 1-yard line, they've got to go 99 yards in less than 2 minutes with no timeouts.
Well, here's the funny thing, though. Stoops actually said, well, it's at the 2. So since it's at the 2.
98 yards, yeah, 98.
Well, no, but listen, he said it was at the 2, and then he goes, maybe if it was at the 1, then you go for it, because then you got to make them drive the length of the field. I'm like... So 1 yard made up your mind? I don't think he really meant it like that, but it came out like that.
Well,
if we'd have been at the 1, I'd have done it, but we were at the 2, so I'm like, forget it.
A couple other things. I don't know if you guys were watching the SEC Network last night after the game, but Gene Chizik predicted that we'd be 9-1.
Yeah.
Going into the Georgia game.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier in the show.
I don't want to get ahead of myself because Mississippi State, they got to go to Mississippi State, and they still got to play Tennessee and these other teams. And I know Tennessee's down right now, but Tennessee is Tennessee. And they've had our number for years. And I mean, Kentucky football under Stoops has done this before. They've been 5-1 and went 5-7.
That's true.
I hope they don't do that.
No, I don't think they will.
They need to take it one game at a time. And one final thing, this afternoon, Kentucky volleyball plays Auburn. They're 10th ranked in the country. And another thing, I don't know, Mary Jo, if you got my email or not, but I was going to mention yesterday, the Director's Cup last year, which is an award.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That faces all the athletic department.
Right.
They give you points for every sport you have. Kentucky finished 10th last year in that. It's their best finish in school history. I think Louisville finished around 25 last year.
Louisville had been up there before, and this was, I think, maybe first year that Kentucky had been in the top 10 and surpassed Louisville.
They were top 10, and they were second. They were second in the SEC last year. Florida finished in the top 5. Because they won national championships in like baseball and like women's tennis, I think, and they were like six SEC schools in the top 20 in that.
So, well, it's funny you mentioned that. I was listening to Louisville radio this week, and they were just poo pooing Kentucky's Director's Cup finish, and they were like, "Yeah, that's because their rifle team, you know, was number one. They're good in sports nobody cares about." And then the next day, they had on someone else talking Louisville, and they were praising Jurich for how he's lifted all the sports across the board.
Yeah.
Same show.
Yeah.
Same people talking about it. You know, if UK does it, But if Louisville does it, ooh.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys feel about Mitch Barnhart? Because I think he's the best.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
I think he's the best athletic director that the school has ever had. I mean, they're competitive in all the sports in the SEC, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a great job. I mean, they're spending like $45 million to build a new baseball stadium.
Yeah.
When they get that bill, that's going to help recruiting and everything. And I think with Nick Mangione as baseball coach, the baseball program's future is bright. But I'll hang up and listen, guys, enjoy the show. I'm in Tennessee and I enjoy getting my Kentucky athletics news from you guys. Thanks a lot and have a great week.
All right, thanks, you too. Jeff. Thanks, Jeff.
No, I mean there's no doubt Mitch has done.
Well, he came in with a plan.
Okay, yeah.
He came in with a plan, and his plan was.
And people didn't like that plan.
Right. Oh, no. I remember
Ditch Mitch and Rich.
Yeah.
Bumper stickers.
And I remember hearing the calls on radio, you know, shows like ours, saying, hey, we don't care about volleyball. We don't care about soccer. Spend the money on football. And really, it took until these last couple of years for Mitch to spend the money on football. It took the firing of Joker and the fans showing that we're not going to support this anymore. Get out the wallet and put some money into this program, and we'll come back. That's what it took.
Yeah.
And he did it. But when he came in, it was, 20 by 20 or 10 by 10? Or he had you know, something like 10 top 10 programs or 10 championships. I can't remember the whatever it was. But his thing was, we're going to lift every program across the board. Look at track. We've got an Olympian on the team and an Olympic coach on the team. And Kentucky had
the world record holder, right?
Kenny Harrison.
Yeah.
So that's that. Okay, volleyball. He mentioned volleyball today. Craig Skinner has built that program and is consistently competitive in the SEC and nationally.
Softball.
Rachel Lawson has built that program, taken them to the College World Series. Let's see. Men's soccer is doing well. Women's soccer is kind of had a change. They had a change of coaches, and so they're re-going there. But Matthew Mitchell.
Yeah,
and the women's basketball team, consistently a contender to get to the Elite Eight Final Four. What are we missing? Baseball, of course, with Nick Mangione. But, you know, Cohen had it going. Gary Henderson had things going. But breakthrough last year, getting to the Super Regional for the first time ever.
Listen, I think men's basketball, Dan, at Kentucky is pretty good.
It's been, you know, Mitch is really, no, yeah. It doesn't matter who the athletic director is. Mitch, actually, that was the end of Mitch.
Yeah.
Nobody would care about any of that other stuff if Billy Gillespie had ruined the program to the point of no return. You know, if he had done something.
or if Mitch hadn't made a decision 2 years in.
Yeah.
To that get was rid good. Of him, you know.
And you know where that comes from really more than anything is the families of the players. I think they had enough of the way it was going, how the players were treated, how the practices were, how all that stuff was going. And once I think Mitch saw the families of these athletes and how these athletes, because I think he does put the student athlete first. I think he's at all of these things. He goes, he sacrifices his time. So I think that's where it hit him and was like, okay, we've got to do something different here. The only my major complaint, which is nothing. I'm not a big corporation type person. I prefer, like, if I'm going to go eat, I don't want to go to a chain that I could go to in Texas or Illinois or wherever. I want to go somewhere where it's locally done. You know, the organic movement of everything. Our farmers markets, our anything, a local business. Like, if I've got to go get some.
You love craft beers? Like,
yes.
You know?
I would prefer to get my stuff from a brewery here.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to get my athletic clothes for my kids from a place that's owned by a person that lives here and runs it, and those people work there, not a monster place. Chevy Chase Hardware, I'd prefer to go there. They have everything, by the way. I mean, you think of something and go, I wonder where I would get that. Go there. That's where you would get it. That I prefer all of that stuff. So the approach of Barnhart is a business. It's a corporation. Kentucky is a corporation. The athletics department's a corporation. It's a business. And so they brand it that way. They have one logo for the UK, the interlocking UK. Then they came up with the new Wildcat logo, but they won't even entertain the idea of the Power K or anything. They just very streamlined like a corporation in that way, where almost like the fans can't do a grassroots type. You couldn't get that. You know what I mean? That just bothers me a little bit, and obviously that is a very small, small complaint. That's just all it is just a pet peeve of mine that they wouldn't entertain some
It also
more of
happens
that.
To be part of the reason we have now upgraded all the facilities at football and all that stuff, too. It does help.
Yeah. All right, take a break. Take your calls, 381-1313, if you want to get in here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Steve Robertson joined Edward Jones Investments in the Hamburg area of Lexington after a long, distinguished career as a financial executive in the spirits industry. Steve is a UK graduate, and he uses his extensive background to manage wealth for his clients. For a straightforward approach to investing, contact Steve at 859-263-0516. That's 263-0516. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC. Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Are you self-conscious around others because your dentures might slip or spaces left by missing teeth may show? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, and be proud to show off those pearly whites.
Jimmy John's America's number one sandwich delivery, fast Ed speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good, but I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
At Paris Animal Welfare Society, located in Bourbon County, we fight every day to help give the stray and abandoned animals of Central Kentucky a second chance at a wonderful life. Of course, we don't do this work alone. Paws relies on a team of volunteers and animal fosters who are passionate about ensuring that each animal finds their perfect forever family. If you live in the Lexington Paris area and love animals like we do, we want you to join us in our life-saving work. Sign up today to become an animal foster or volunteer by visiting our website at www.pawspets.org. That's PAWSpets.org.
I have spent literally the last 7 years of my life preaching about how electronic cigarettes are way safer and better for you than burning tobacco. And now the FDA and a lot of other bigwigs that thought they knew it all and are trying to shut us down to protect their big buddies at Big Tobacco are changing their tunes with true facts. If they would have only listened to me 7 years ago, a lot more smokers would have been ex-smokers by now. You know what I got to say about that? I told you so. Told you, told you, told you. Told you, told you, and told you again and again. But they knew that already, folks. That's the sad part. And you watch, in the long run, they're going to act like it was their big idea in the first place. Oh, and they're going to still try and control it. But the fact remains that e-cigs have less than 1% of the cancer-causing chemicals that tobacco does. Magic Vapor Shops are in London, Corbin, Somerset, Nicholasville, Georgetown, and Winchester. Or online anytime at www.magicvaporshop.com.
can.
Fall is here. The leaves are clogging your gutters, and cleaning them can be a very messy, dangerous, time-consuming, and expensive problem. With Gutter Helmet, the nation's number one gutter protection, you will never clean your gutters again. Gutter Helmet prevents water damage and keeps gutters free of leaves and debris. Guaranteed for life. Call and save 20% at 859-554-2449 or online at classichomecenter.net.
Hi, folks. Richard Lomerson, owner of Gutter Helmet. Ask for it by name. Gutter Helmet.
You'd quit us if you could, but you can't.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Great, hard-fought fourth-quarter wins. What kind of fight are you seeing in your crew right now?
Well, I'm very pleased with that. I mean, we're, you know, making some mistakes, but the guys are really playing hard and doing what we have to do to win games. We get a chance to hit the reset button here and get a break. We desperately need that at this time, so I'm pleased.
How much of what you said about finding ways to win games is Steven Johnson?
He's the epitome of that. You know, I couldn't be more proud of Steven and the way he just hangs in there. He took a beating here tonight. Give Missouri credit. And Barry, I knew that he would have them ready to play. They played a heck of a game. And I'm very proud of Steven. He made some really big plays for us tonight.
You told us that your team is not a fragile football team. How did that apply tonight?
It applied when we gave up the home run at the end of the first half, because that's a gut punch and it shouldn't have happened. And, you know, but it didn't, you know, faze us. They went in there at halftime and we talked about playing. And, again, give Missouri credit. They played a heck of a football game. And But I was proud of our team.
As you said, halfway point of the season, 5-1, and the SEC East is wide open. How good can your team be?
It's 1 week at a time for us. This bye comes at a good time for us. We're beat up. They're tired. We've had close games all year in every game. So the guys need a little break, and then we got to finish strong.
Coach, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Steven, we were just talking about going into the half after they had just scored. What was your conversation like in the locker room?
Just telling everybody that we know we could definitely do a lot better. That first half, we were up 6 points, but we should have been up a lot more just by our execution and things that we weren't doing right. But we definitely came in the second half and picked it up.
What were the moments in the game that you all responded with such aggression and fight?
Just really every time in the third. In the third and fourth quarter. We decided we didn't want to quit fighting. We just kept pushing forward. Finally pulled it out.
You're 5-1 going into the bye week. You've seen some good moments. You've seen some tough moments. But how good can this team be?
We can be incredible. We've got so many talented guys on this team. I'm excited to see when we finally pick it up and put it all into the works. And I guess just going right. We can be really, really good.
Well, it's human nature to look around, and I know you're looking at other teams in the East record. What will it take for you all to get to Atlanta?
Just keep doing what we're doing. We have to execute offensively, third down situations, just being efficient with the run in the pass game. Just playing as a team on all three sides of the ball.
And finally, Steven, we had a scary moment when your teammate Luke Wright went down, now in the hospital. What would you like to say to him?
Keep fighting, buddy. We're all going to be there tomorrow to come see you. But definitely just keep fighting. We love you. We really support you.
Thank you, Steven.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we haven't even talked about that
yet. No, that was such a scary moment. And if you were at the game, you didn't know what was happening.
Right. Well, on TV, it just all of a sudden... It was there. Like, they were reviewing a call or something, and then all of a sudden, they show a shot of medical personnel and a stretcher around the UK sideline, around someone, and you don't know who it is. They say it's Luke Wright, you know, the backup quarterback, the transfer from Cincinnati. And, you know, he started a game last year.
But so, even then, when you hear that, you think, well, gosh,
what happened?
What happened? Because he's not in the game.
So all that the broadcast would say on the SEC network was that he had become stiff and red-faced and went down. And then Stoops would not elaborate on it afterward and said it was just better not to, which makes you think it's maybe a condition that he has or something like that that we just haven't known about and they don't want to put out there, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But very scary.
Oh, yeah.
Very scary for everyone.
Because you could see the look on the Kentucky players' faces.
Yeah.
And they were terrified.
Yeah. After the game, though, the report was vitals were fine. He was communicating. Mm-hmm. He's fine. Everything was going great.
I think Eddie Grant went straight to the hospital, right?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Tough. Absolutely tough. One other thing to get to from that. I don't know that reporter very well. I don't know how long she's been covering SEC football or working for ESPN or whatever, but did you hear that question? What's it going to take for you guys to get to Atlanta?
That question isn't asked of Kentucky a lot.
No, who asked
Certainly
that
not halfway through the season.
Right. So for that question to even be asked,
yeah,
it's on her mind. Or it's on somebody's mind, the producer, or something, but...
Well, listen.
You don't hear that asked very often.
If they are 9-1 going into Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, but if Georgia's undefeated...
Georgia's going to...
If Georgia...
I don't give Kentucky a chance in that game.
Yeah, because if Georgia wins out and Kentucky beats Georgia, Kentucky still lost to Florida. But Florida will have lost to LSU.
Yeah.
And Georgia. So that's two losses. So, yeah, I guess Kentucky would win the East if they beat Georgia in that situation. Long way from there.
Yeah. That's a football left to play.
Yeah. That's the week before Thanksgiving. And it would be, that's the second to last game. The next week is Louisville. So, yeah, a lot of football left to play. All right, let's take a break. Back with more. We'll go through this game a little bit. Before we go to break, on the way to break, how about the Steven Johnson to Blake Bone touchdown, Brad? Let's play that thing because that was awesome because they threw the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the ball was snapped, Steven Johnson had no hesitation. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He threw it to a perfect spot, and Blake Bone made a spectacular catch, and it was 7-0 UK.
3-14. And again... Missouri's in the neutral zone. Free play. And it's caught. That's Blake Bone in the end zone. Touchdown, Cats.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Oh no! I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita's. Or call 859-368-9265. Experimat. Computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Today, people wake up and life is perfect. Before the day is over, thousands are injured or killed in a car crash. An on-the-job injury devastates a family's financial security. A medical mistake results in lifelong injuries or even death. And then you face one of the most important decisions of your life. Who will represent me in my hour of need? Most disturbing is this decision is made in days with little or no research or knowledge. Is the firm I'm hiring a jewel or a joke? What is their reputation like? And do they ever go to court? Do they need money just to keep their own lights on? And do they have the money to fight for me toe-to-toe? Don't make this decision based on an ad. Make it based on facts and a long-term proven track record. Call us on your cell phone at Pound Law. That's Pound 529. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. offices, Lexington.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Call to receive your free DVD videos and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited-time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7088 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-956-7088. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7088 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
We're more than just a radio station. We're your invisible friend. Unless you make us angry.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Third and two to be exact, with Snell standing next to Steve. And Benny hits the hole and he's wide open. And has plenty of daylight inside the 30. Eludes the tackler. Tiptoes the sideline. Are you kidding me? Touchdown, Kentucky.
71 yards. I forget that guy, the announcer's name, but I thought he did a pretty good job. Now, he's with Andre Ware, who...
I can't speak to it because I didn't hear the broadcast last night.
Well, let me just tell you, Andre Ware, normally not good. He wasn't that bad last night. I thought he was a great player. Loved watching him play, but in the booth, I have not enjoyed him immensely over the years. But I thought he was pretty good last night. And the play-by—I cannot remember the play-by-play guy's name, but I thought he did an excellent job. He was because what happens, Mary Jo, is they give these different teams like the 7:30 SEC Network game. Do you remember what that used to be? It used to be Brent Musburger and Jesse Palmer.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, we have it set. We have a game every Saturday night at 7:30 on the SEC Network.
I actually liked that. And I like Jesse Palmer, to be honest with you.
And they make it like a big deal. Like, this is our game of the week for our channel. I know it's not the best game. It's not the game that ABC gets in the best ABC or the best SEC game that CBS plays at 3:30. It's not the 7 o'clock SEC game on ESPN. So it's still like the third or fourth tier game, but it's our network's game of the week, you know? And so they would consistently have more top-level announcers to make it seem like it's big. And then now it's every week. Kentucky's got a different broadcast crew. And they've played at that 7:30 game three times this year on the SEC network. And they've got a different crew every time. So I dislike that. But, yes, I'm not a Jesse Palmer fan, but I preferred him and Brent Musburger in there. He's okay. He doesn't, like, upset me the way Jordan Rodgers does.
Yeah, Jordan Rodgers upsets me. Yeah. By the way, there was a game yesterday. I don't know if you saw the clip on Twitter from Eastern Michigan and Toledo. Early on in the game, Toledo is up 3-0. Eastern Michigan is kicking a field goal to tie it.
Yes.
And it's not even close.
Wide right.
I mean, wide right.
Yeah.
And the announcer's calling the game.
Yeah.
Like, what? All tied up. 3-3 and...
Right down the middle.
But I want an explanation. They were there. They were watching it. That was...
Well, if you're in... You've been in the press box. So if you are on that opposite side, so you're on the left side of the upright, you know, so you're looking at it, and the ball crosses the goalpost. And since you're not looking at it from, you know, behind or in front, and you have the side view from the opposite side of where the ball was wide,
I get that. But as the kicker's running off the field and they're going to break, it's up 3-3. Now, certainly the refs have signaled at this point that was no good.
Now, that's what you always watch. That's what I always watch for from the side view. because even when I'm like...
And those guys have spotters up there.
Yeah.
Who are supposed to just watch that and tell them, good, no good. And they just let them go and talk about this field goal was good.
Yeah, you're right. They should not have been carrying it out all the way through. And he said it's good. Before they went to break, he should have been able to correct it. Because I can tell you from shooting hundreds of high school football games, anytime there's ever a field goal kick, I never trust myself, and I don't go rushing back to the kicker to see the reaction. My camera goes to the field goal and straight down to the refs to see if they're raising their hands or saying no. Because I don't know otherwise, unless it is just really blatantly obvious. Yeah, it's like a foul ball. So, but they, yes.
I also thought that one was pretty
They have spotters. I mean, very bad. Hey, a couple things to get to. After Kentucky's offense sputtered right away, you know, Josh Allen had that strip sack. And then right away, it's Steven Johnson to Blake Bone. It's 7-0. And then the next UK possession, after UK forced a 3-and-out, you know, they had that targeting hit on Lynn Bowden. And then Steven Johnson had Josh Ali for the touchdown. The deep ball. It was there. And Steven just a hair underthrew him so that Ali had to, like, kind of move his body back a little bit. But it still hit him. It was going to be... It wasn't the easiest catch to make, but he should have caught it. But the next play, Steven Johnson hits Kaywon Ross down to the 15-yard line. Snell scored a touchdown. And they said illegal formation, which I couldn't figure that out. When I looked at it, I'm like, because they said there were too many men in the backfield. I did not see it that way. I don't know, because they showed the overhead view. The announcers were kind of baffled by it. So that was a strange call. Next play, Steven Johnson sacked, and so UK has to settle for the field goal to go 10-0. So there were two opportunities, Snell's touchdown and the deep ball to Ali, that would have made it 14-0. Should have been 14-0. Then Mizzou looks good, misses a 38-yard field goal. So you're like, oh, you know. So they're feeling deflated. Then Bowden does that crazy 22-yard run, catch and run. And then UK converts on 4th-and-2 to Juice, Steven Johnson, Johnson to Johnson. And then right after that, Johnson hits Ross again, down to the 24 for a big chunk. And then this is where... I complain. This is where I want to complain. You complain on 3rd-and-1 is Saheem King and the Wildcat. Like, you already did that once this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't.
That'll kill you. Cause,
also, look, the touchdown that should have been Snell to C.J. Conrad.
Ooh.
That was also brutal. Because that should have been a touchdown there.
Well, and it shouldn't have been Snell throwing the ball, though.
No, I know. That's why it wasn't a touchdown.
Right. I mean, but so 3rd-and-1, after you converted on the 4th-and-2, and the 3rd-and-1, the Saheem King out of the Wildcat, just, But so UK had to settle for another field goal. It was a 12-play drive. The previous drive was like 14 plays. So you're dominating this game, but it's 13-0 instead of 21-0. If it's 21-0, Missouri's spirit is quite different. They're hanging their heads. They're ready to give up. All right, so 13-0, bang, 50-yard touchdown pass Mizzou.
Because honestly, for Missouri, you know, it was like when Kentucky was down at South Carolina. Like, Kentucky is finding every which way to shoot itself in the foot.
Yeah.
South Carolina had that opening touchdown. Like, it looks like it is rolling in South Carolina's direction.
Yeah.
And all this stuff happens, and you think, hey, we're only down 6.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff has happened for Missouri, and we're only down 13. Like, we score one time.
Yeah.
It's a game again.
But bang! Back comes on 3rd-and-2. Benny Snell, 71 yards to the house. It's 20-7. Like, okay, here we go. Now they're going to crush them now. That was one mistake. They're going to crush them. Austin McGinnis, by the way, became UK's all-time leading scorer on that extra point after Snell's touchdown. So then UK forces a punt but gets backed up inside its own 5. Steven Johnson hits Kawan Ross out to like the 26-yard line. And then from there, Johnson is under pressure, and he makes a great throw to Lynn Bowden all the way up at the UK 46. Yeah. Now you're at
and
midfield.
And he makes a great catch.
Yeah. Now you're at midfield with like a minute left or something, and you've got a chance to go down and score again. Kyle Meadows was called holding. For holding.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was at the 46. It moves it back to the 17. That's a 30-yard penalty, yeah. Basically, that happened.
That was such a great catch from Lynn Bowden, too. Yeah, that was a great catch.
He had a couple catches negated by penalties. And so then it's 3rd and 14, and it's that screen play. Mm-hmm. And it is blown up immediately. So that mistake, that holding call, that's another points off the board thing.
Where have I heard that before,
exactly.
Dan?
Exactly. Exactly. These little things, these little cuts. So then the punt only goes to the 42. Mm-hmm. So you had just caught the ball at your own 46, and now you just punted it to their 42. So, you know? And then bang, 58-yard touchdown pass. It's 20-14. It should have been 24-7 at halftime. That's what that's what Kentucky's mistakes did. Instead of 20-14, should have been 31, because I think you get a field goal out of that drive that you punted in at the end of the half. You at least get a field goal out of that, I think. The touchdown, the Snell touchdown after the two field goals, that would have made it 28-7.
But listen, Dan, the real thing is Kentucky is never going to play a mistake-free football game.
No.
They just aren't. So but they're charged with overcoming those mistakes and still finding a way to win, which they did.
They did. Absolutely. There's no doubt. You cannot look at this any other way, but they're a positive overall. But the game within the game, what did I just rattle off? 3 or 4 mistakes. Right there, that made it what it was. Just have 2 of them, or 3 instead of 4. You know, so then, I mean, and that was Lonnie Johnson. Chris Westry went out at cornerback and got injured. So Lonnie Johnson comes in. And that was Lonnie Johnson who got beat on the 58-yard touchdown pass. So then the third quarter, Mizzou comes right out, marches down the field. They have to go for a field goal. It's missed, but Lonnie Johnson ran into the kicker, and so now. The second attempt makes it a 3-point game.
Yeah.
It's 20-17. Like, I'm not trying to hammer on Lonnie because he came back and blocked a kick. So, mistakes going to happen. Like Steven Johnson, when he throws that interception and it's 20-17, you're like, oh, here you go. But to the very next play, Darius West forces the fumble directly into Phil Hoskins' hands. It was just like it fell to him. He's like, oh, I got to hold on to this. And that UK drive resulted in another Snell touchdown. And made it 27-17. So then you're feeling good about UK again. Well, then, Mizzou, 49-yard touchdown.
No, I mean, it was back and forth.
And that was on Derek Beatty. He's their best defender in the secondary. Best cover guy. They ruled him down at the 1. It wasn't a touchdown. They ruled him down at the 1, but the next play, Locke ran it in. And now it's 27-24 with 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. UK avoided Mizzou's go-ahead touchdown on multiple Mizzou missed opportunities and held the Tigers to a field goal. Because how many deep balls did he throw? I mean, they dropped or overthrew. I mean, they had a chance to take the lead. Instead, they tie the game. But then Steven Johnson to Juice. Juice came through, 64-yard touchdown. That didn't look like it was going to be a touchdown, and then Juice just turned it on.
I do want Kawan Ross to get a touchdown at some point this year because he's been crucial in between the 20s. So I'd like to see him score.
Well, that Johnson to Johnson touchdown, the 64-yard play, it was UK's 6th play of 20-plus yards. And so UK had the 34-27 lead. And then Courtney Love is left covering the slot receiver. When that happens, Drew Locke has a 75-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
And so now we're tied at 34.
Now, and that was on 3rd down and 9, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think almost all of those long bomb touchdowns were on 3rd down.
Yeah. All right, let's play. Let's go as we go to break here. We got one more segment left, but as we go to break, play the juice to juice 64 or Johnson to Johnson 64-yard touchdown, and we'll be back with more here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show
on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Johnson has plenty of time, and he's got a wide open receiver. It's Juice, and he's loose inside the 20. He's in the end zone. Juice Johnson puts Kentucky back on top.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently, on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
Steve Robertson joined Edward Jones Investments in the Hamburg area of Lexington after a long, distinguished career as a financial executive in the spirits industry. Steve is a UK graduate, and he uses his extensive background to manage wealth for his clients. For a straightforward approach to investing, contact Steve at 859-263-0516. That's 263-0516. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC. I've got a terrible stain on my best dress shirt. I was going to wear it on my business trip.
Don't worry. Just take it to Emperor's Clean in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. They'll get that stain right out.
There's not enough time for that. I leave for my trip in 2 days.
That's still no problem. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in same-day dress shirt service. If you drop your shirts off by 9 a.m., they'll have them ready for you the same day.
Wow. Say, I've got a pair of dress pants that are too long. Do you think they could take care of that too?
Absolutely. Emperor's Cleaners provides top-notch alteration services.
Well, I guess I better get over there and get this stuff dropped off. Thanks.
You'll be in good hands. Emperor's Cleaners will give your clothes a royal treatment. Visit Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road to keep your clothing looking sharp and stylish. You'll stay dressed to the nines with our royal treatment at Emperor's Cleaners.
Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. Give your clothes the royal treatment.
Coming up, the latest sports news, commentary, plus a personal plea from yours truly for the return of my pants.
You're really weird.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
That's excellent.
It's a third and fourth. Wide open underneath is Lynn Bowden, the true freshman, still in bounds, tiptoeing the sideline near midfield.
Yeah, you talk to this coaching staff. They are very excited about the true freshman, well, that, Lynn Bowden.
Yeah, they should be. That was the earlier play. I thought maybe that was the play that was fourth quarter, but the fourth quarter play.
I mean, that place was ready to erupt if on that fourth quarter play.
Yeah.
By the way, our phone line, if you've been trying to call, our phone lines have been down today or in and out, and we've totally spaced on saying anything.
Yeah, I keep seeing it, and then sorry if you've been calling, and it keeps like going crazy over there. Anyway, so the Bowden run late in the game, so the game's tied at 34, and UK winds up the fake punt on fourth and one with the direct snap to Cash Daniel.
I'm gonna be honest, and I'm gonna sound really like gloating here, but before that happened, I looked at my husband and son, and I was like, they're going to fake it here. And they both looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, I just had a feeling we were going to fake it there.
Well, Mark Stoops gave all the credit to Dean Hood. So they've been working on that for months, and Hood came to him and said, what do you think? And Stoops goes, let's do it. And, I mean, Dean Hood is, he's great. He is just great.
Oh, Dean Hood.
So then Steven Johnson to Juice, 13 yards on the very next play after that. And then Steven Johnson's pass to Richardson was ruled a catch. Taven Richardson at the 15-yard line. It wasn't. They overturned it. But there was, like, clear pass interference. The guy was all over Richardson's back. They didn't call pass interference. That was 3rd and 8. But McGinnis crushes a 53-yard field goal. It's 37-34 with 9:40 to go. Mizzou comes back and has a 45-yard field goal to tie. That's when Lonnie Johnson blocks it. And so that then Bowden has his crazy reverse field run to the Mizzou 23. Steven Johnson with the run to the 2-yard line leaps and then takes that shot. It's 3rd and goal. I hated the read option on 3rd and goal. And then I think you have to kick the field goal. I know I saw so many people were like, I hate that they did that. But I think you had to kick the field goal to make them score a touchdown to beat you.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, they can still kick a field goal, and they have proven that they're torching your secondary.
Yeah.
So make them score a touchdown. So I liked how...
Also, they had had lot of problems kicking field goals.
Yes.
So
If
you're up 3, I feel like you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, but...
So I can't blame him for not going for it there.
No. Kentucky's 5-1.
And resilient. Overcoming their mistakes.
And they need a bye right now. Couldn't come at a better time. Get healthy and then keep this train rolling. Tonight, basketball begins.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And Kentucky, they go through this bye week. They go through and they show that they have 8 mistakes per game, let's say, on average.
Yeah.
They come out of the bye week and they get to 7 mistakes in the first game. 6 mistakes in the next game. And then the next thing you know, they won 4 in a row and they're playing at Georgia for the SEC championship. Thanks
dare
for listening.
We dream.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I'm losing time in these strange days.